Today is the Feast of the Ascension. The epistle comes from the Acts of the Apostles. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore, who were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had said these things, they looked on, he was raised up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word which with the signs that followed. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven. And it is one of the primary feasts of the Church. It's a very important feast. And there is reason for it that we celebrate this feast. And it's a feast which we probably should appreciate even more so, especially in the times in which we live today. The feast, it commemorates our Lord's going into heaven. It is such that before this, of course, no one had entered into heaven except there was no one at all. God was in heaven, of course, but there was no one, no creature that had entered into heaven. Even after our Lord had died on the cross and rose from the dead, still there were no souls that had gone to heaven yet. Our Lord went into the limbo of the patriarchs in order to comfort and console those who had died before him, and who were such that they were the just, but they did not yet go to heaven because our Lord had not gone to heaven himself. And of course, he needed to lead them into heaven. And so it is on this feast of the Ascension that we commemorate the fact that our Lord went body and soul into heaven, and he led all of those souls who were in the limbo of the patriarchs, he led them all into heaven. The reason why I say this feast is a special one for us is that it gives us the virtue of hope. Hope in a situation which we live in today, which seems to be, at least humanly speaking, hopeless. The kind of world we live in has all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties, and things don't seem to get better, they simply seem to get worse. If you think things are bad, you just have to wait a little while and they get worse. It's not hardly a consolation to say that, well, things are better than they will be. It's kind of something that's rather foreboding. But the idea is that this event of our Lord's going to heaven is the idea that we hope one day that we will also be following our Lord into heaven. The virtue of hope is good for us to maybe review a little bit exactly what that virtue means. And of course, we might get a little bit understanding too in the epistle why the apostles were chastised for what they were doing. It was a slight chastisement at the end of the epistle. The virtue of hope is such that we trust that God will provide us with eternal life. He will give us to see God in heaven for all eternity. So we trust that God will give us eternal life, that we will celebrate, we will have the beatific vision, the vision of God directly, and that he will provide us the means to get there. Two parts. We will attain eternal life and we'll have the means to get there. When we talk about it, we can sin actually in two ways against the virtue of hope. We can presume that we're going to get to heaven. It's called presumption that we're going to get to heaven without taking the means. God will just take us into heaven regardless of who we are, what we do. It doesn't matter. God will take us into heaven. And that's kind of common today. When someone dies, the immediate presumption is they're in heaven. That's a presumption. We presume. We are presuming that we are going to be able to reach the end without taking the means. The other extreme, that's by excess, where we think that we're going to get to heaven without taking the means. The other excess is by defect, or excuse me, the other extreme is by defect rather than excess. It's by defect, and we are by defect, it's the idea of despairing, that we're so bad that God will never be able to help us, that we're going to lose our souls. That's by defect where we sin against hope. When we look at the epistle for the Mass today, and we see the events, you know, our Lord was with them for 40 days after his resurrection, of course, they began to grow comfortable with him being around them. He spent a lot of time with them, and of course, they realized that now that he was establishing a church, he was going to be establishing a church, and it was such that he was victorious over sin and death. His crucifixion was not something shameful, but was a means to obtain the salvation of mankind. All of a sudden, then, after he completes the instruction that he had to give them while he was here on earth, he ascended 40 days after Easter into heaven. And so the apostles are looking up into the heavens, you know, almost longing that they could just go to heaven right now. You know, it's a natural thing. Just like St. Peter many times, you know, you see in the gospel, there are many occasions where St. Peter is very impetuous about what he does. St. Peter is still St. Peter, and he's leading the apostles. I mean, when he is such that he sees the transfiguration of our Lord with Moses and Elijah, he says he wants to build three tabernacles so that they can stay up there forever. When, of course, He emphatically says he's never going to deny our Lord and at the Last Supper, and then afterwards, that same night, he denies our Lord three times. He also is very impetuous when they come to apprehend our Lord, he takes out his sword and starts using his sword to slice off the ear of Malchus. He's very impetuous. He's very much a man of the moment, at least at this point in time. And so he's still in the situation where he would like to go to heaven right now. follow our Lord right to heaven. He's going to heaven. I'm going to go now. It says, so men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up to heaven? Okay. You have work to do. Hope is that we will attain the end and that we will be able to have the means to that end. That we will take the means to that end. And right now, it's not ordained for these apostles, right after our Lord's ascension to heaven, to go immediately into heaven. They have to do certain things that our Lord has appointed for them to during their earthly life as the means by which they will attain heaven. And that is important for us today, both things. That we, of course, have this great desire to go to heaven, to be with God. And that means that God is our number one priority. God has to be our number one priority. And it's very interesting to understand that it has to be that he is our number one priority. Because if he isn't our number one priority, then at least viewed subjectively within ourselves, we don't value him as God. We have something else that is our God if he is not number one in our priorities. So he has to be number one in our priorities. He has to be number one in what we do. We have to think of everything as that being the end. So that's number one. That's the first thing. God is our first and only priority. Everything else doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Everything else is secondary. Everything else doesn't matter at all. The second point is that we need to take the means to the end. Okay. We can't go to heaven right now. We might like to go to heaven right now. We might like to do so because we could avoid a lot of difficulties this way. But it's not appointed for us to go to heaven right now. Why are you looking up to heaven? You have to do something. Do something. You know, at the time of St. Paul, it's very interesting. He was such that he was surrounded by certain people who thought the end times were very, very near, that God would end things very soon. And so they were so intent that things would end very soon that they didn't even plant any crops. God's going to take us soon, so why even plant a crop? Because God's going to take us very, very soon. That's why you see St. Paul in one of his epistles saying that let he that does not work, let him not eat. Okay? So those were the believers in the parousia. It's going to end right now. So he says, you must work. You must labor. And so in our life here, we must use the means to the end. We must strive to do our best in this life to do God's will in what he wants us to do, keeping him as number one priority. Regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the kind of world we live in, regardless of all of its rot, its decay, everything around us, if we do that, if we keep God as number one priority and work consciously and work diligently in order to achieve use the means to the end, we will save our souls. It's important for us to remember that. And it gives us some consolation in this world of desolation. It's a world that's very desolate. The people are such that they have all kinds of difficulties because of the desolate life they live, and they have no hope. And the only one you can truly hope in is our Lord, that he will give us the means of that end. The other thing is that we must also remember when we're talking about this, when we're living in this situation, is the fact that this isn't the first time in the history of man where things look desolate. Think about the apostles themselves. They lived in the time of Nero. And if you know anything about history, Roman history, Nero was not a saint. He was a morally corrupt man. He was the one who led the Roman Empire, and so he was a very corrupt man, and he made things very difficult for the Christians. But nevertheless, they didn't just think that things were hopeless. They went about doing what they could to spread the gospel, to teach what our Lord had taught them, to start the Catholic Church in a very hostile environment. And so we see that even in the time of the apostles, they continued on and they did everything they were meant to do. And they spread the gospel to the four ends of the earth. It's amazing. 12 men spreading the gospel to the four ends of the earth. Okay. But they kept in mind what they were supposed to do. And of course, it was at Pentecost, then they understood. The Holy Ghost filled them with his gifts, and they understood exactly what they had to do in order to go out to save their souls, and to save the souls of many, many millions and millions and millions and millions of people. And so, it's a time, this time when we think of the ascension of our Lord, it's a time for us to have some consolation with the fact that God understands our difficulties. He'll give us the means to the end. He wants us to be with him, and that we have to do our part to do the same, to do that. So it's important for us to do that. But the important thing for us to do is then to focus on the means to that end. You know, because of the fact that if we don't focus on the means to that end and use the means that God has intended for us, we can be such that we can be pulled aside like many people who live in the world today. Because there are many things that are out in the world today that will distract us from that and will lead us to desolation and perdition. So at this point in time, which we consider the ascension of our Lord, let us renew our efforts to keep in mind always the end for which we're made, the fact that God has given us this hope by the fact that he has ascended to heaven. And also, secondly, then also remember that we need to, every day, without fail, take the means that are necessary in order to save our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.